John chapter 3, and we're reading verses 16 to 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God.
Well, do keep that passage open. You must pay for everything in this world, one way and another. There is nothing free except the grace of God. I heard this quote on the occasion of Rosie Palmer's birthday. Yeah. Becca and I took Bernard and Rosie to see True Grit, a Western. Becca and I had a slightly challenging task. We had to get Rosie out of the way so that everyone else could prepare for her surprise birthday. And it's slightly odd inviting someone out at 4:30 in the afternoon. Normally you'd say come to lunch or come to supper. But Bernard suggested the deception of inviting them out for a film. And the film we saw was True Grit. The film tells the story of 14-year-old Mattie Ross. When her father is shot dead, she hires a lawman with True Grit to help her hunt the villain down. Rooster Coben is the lawman. Joined by Texas Ranger LaBeef, they set off on a quest for retribution. As an older Mattie looks back on this adventure, she expresses her firm belief in justice and in God's grace. You must pay for everything in this world, one way and another. There's nothing free except the grace of God. This is profoundly and wonderfully true. There's no such thing as a free lunch, but the grace of God is free. That's to say, God loves us and blesses us, even though we don't deserve it one little bit. The context of John 3 is that Jesus has been presented to us as God. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In other words, he's the sacrifice which fulfills all the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. You know, in the Old Testament, lambs could be slaughtered to make atonement for the sins of the people. Jesus is the final Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And because he has paid the price of his life when he died on the cross, the grace of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God is free to us. And then we saw how Jesus dealt with Nicodemus and called him to receive God's grace. And today we learn that we access the grace of God. We come into the place of God's grace. We receive forgiveness, not when we perform a religious ritual, not when we jump through religious hoops. We experience the love of God simply when we believe. It's as simple as that. So I've got four headings this morning. Believe in the love of God. Believe in the Son of God. Believe to escape condemnation. And believe unlike our unbelieving world. Firstly, believe in the love of God. Verse 16. In the romantic comedy, No Strings Attached, best friends embark on a sexual relationship with no strings attached. Commitment-phobic doctor Emma lays down her ground rules. No lying, no jealousy, no snuggling. And her best friend Adam consents. The story is about whether they can stick to the rules. And can their friendship survive? This is the logical conclusion of our society's rejection of the Christian view of love. The Christian view of love is about self-sacrifice, giving up yourself for the good of another. Love in the godless West is about what I can get out of it. And at the foundation of the Christian view of love is the God who loves. The God of love. The God who is love. The God who gives himself away in love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This verse, perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible, tells us certain truths. There is a God. This world is not an accident. This world has a creator who loves his creation. He loves the world so much that he gave. He gave his only Son. He gave his Son to leave the glory of heaven, to be born in poverty, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross in our place, taking the punishment we deserve, so that we might escape God's punishment and be forgiven. This is not cosmic child abuse, as Steve Chalk famously said. This is not God taking out his anger on the wrong person. Rather, Jesus is also God. He is God the Son. And he willingly chooses to take our place, to take our punishment. So God has done something astonishingly loving for us. And to benefit from this, look what we have to do. We don't have to pay money. We don't have to do anything religious. Look at verse 16. Whoever believes in him, in Jesus, shall not perish, but have eternal life. This verse is honest with us. If we die unforgiven, we will perish. We must be forgiven to escape the punishment of God. God is a just God. He does not allow our sins to go unpunished. Either we can pay for them ourselves in hell, or we can let Jesus take the punishment in our place. And if we want Jesus to take our punishment, all we have to do is believe. It's astonishingly simple. Just believe. I need to define what belief means in this context. It doesn't just mean believing that Jesus exists. The devil believes that Jesus exists. The devil believes that the Bible is true. but the devil is not saved. What's the nature of belief which saves you? Have you ever thought about the chair you're sitting on? The faith you put in your chair is an illustration of the faith you need to put in Jesus. All of you who are sitting down are trusting completely in your chair. You believe that your chair has great power to hold your great weight. Sorry. You do not doubt your chair. In the same way, to believe in Jesus means to put your trust in him, to trust completely that when he died on the cross, he took all the punishment we deserve, and he's able to save us completely from hell for heaven. Believe in the love of God. Secondly, believe in the Son of God. Verse 17. Listen to these famous words. Meaning no disrespect to the religious convictions of others, I still can't help wondering how he can explain away what to me is the greatest miracle of all and which is recorded in history. A young man whose father is a carpenter grows up working in his father's shop. One day, he puts down his tools and walks out of his father's shop. He starts preaching on street corners and in the nearby countryside, walking from place to place, preaching all the while, though he's not an ordained minister. He does this for 3 years. Then he is arrested, tried and convicted. There is no court of appeal, so he's executed at the age of 33, along with two common thieves. Those in charge of his execution roll dice to see who gets his clothing, the only possession he has. His family cannot afford a burial place for him, so he's interred in a borrowed tomb. End of story? No! This uneducated, propertyless young man who left no written word has for 2,000 years had a greater effect on the world than all the rulers, kings, emperors, all the conquerors, generals and admirals, all the scholars, scientists and philosophers who've ever lived, all of them put together. How do we explain that? Unless he really was who he said he was. Ronald Reagan said those words. Ronald Reagan believed in the Son of God. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God could have sent Jesus to condemn the world. You probably know how Adam and Eve sinned. They ate the forbidden fruit. They challenged God's authority. And all of us have a propensity to rebel against God. Every day, I need to repent of my sins. Because just like you, every day, I say things I shouldn't say. And do things I shouldn't do and so on. God would have been within his rights to condemn the world. But he didn't. He didn't condemn the world. He wanted to save the world. He sent his Son into the world to save the world. So believe in God's love. Believe in God's Son. He has been sent into the world to be our Savior. Number three, believe to escape condemnation. I came back to Catholicism, but I came back out of love and out of freedom and joy, rather than fear of condemnation. This quote was spoken by Martin Sheen, famous for his role as Captain Willard in the film Apocalypse Now, and as President Josiah Bartlett in The West Wing. Obviously, we'd have some differences with Catholicism, but I'm delighted that Sheen has left behind his formerly godless way of life. I hope he really has discovered the mercy of God. Look at verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. What a wonderful truth. I know many things I've done wrong. There are also things I've done wrong of which I'm unaware. Justice demands that I should be condemned. But whoever believes in him is not condemned. I am not condemned. Are you condemned? I wonder, do you feel condemned? The Christian gospel is so simple. Simply by believing, by trusting, we are not condemned. We are rescued from hell and going to heaven. However, look how the verse continues. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. When I lived in Wales, perhaps my best friend was a journalist with BBC Wales. And one day he had to follow Rowan Williams on a visit to a school. Rowan Williams, who's now the Archbishop of Canterbury, was then Archbishop of Wales. Dr. Williams was asked by a child, "Do you believe in hell?" And he said, "No." I can understand why he said that. I sometimes wish hell was not real. I don't quite wish everyone went to heaven. When they look at people who've committed heinous crimes, I don't want them in heaven. But I don't like the thought of hell. But this verse doesn't give us any wriggle room. And Jesus taught about the reality of hell more than anyone. So Rowan Williams' argument is with Jesus. Look at the verse again. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You can't sit on the fence. Either you believe in Jesus, you trust in what he's done for you, and you've made him your rightful king, or you stand condemned. Believe in the love of God. Believe in the Son of God. Believe to escape condemnation. And fourthly, believe unlike our unbelieving world. House is a medical drama about Dr. Gregory House. In one episode, House's patient is an unbelieving priest who claims to have seen Jesus floating on his doorstep, a vision which he regards as an hallucination. The priest, however, can't believe that the hallucination was just a coincidence. House rightly insists that everything that's happened to him can be explained rationally. The priest agrees, but says there are a lot of coincidences. Our society increasingly thinks like House. Everything can be explained using empirical science. We all believe in empirical science. However, at the same time, we suspect that the coincidences of life are not just coincidences, that there's a master planner. Ultimately, we've got to make a choice. Does the evidence suggest that we are mere accidents in a random material world, or is there a spiritual dimension? John 3:19 says that there's a moral issue to be faced as we make this decision. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. John says, the reason we choose atheism is because we prefer the darkness of an amoral universe in which we can do whatever we like. Verse 20, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. We've all got skeletons in the cupboard, even if they're just things we've thought. Our thought life can be dreadful. One senior church leader recently confided that his mind was a sewer. We like to hide in the darkness for fear that our deeds will be exposed. But, verse 21, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. I wonder, would you like to step out of the darkness into the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what he has been done through God? This is a different way to live, a life lived through God, by God's power, for God's glory. In other words, living with Jesus as King, living to please him, living to tell others about him. Believe in the love of God. Believe in the Son of God. Believe to escape condemnation. Believe unlike our unbelieving world. Are you believing in Jesus today? For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. There is nothing free in this life except the grace of God.